I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Super Real.
Hey, I'm Julian Morgans, and you're listening to What It Was Like, the show that asks people who have lived through big, dramatic events what it was like. Hey, friends. So if you heard last week's episode, it was about Martin Bryant, and you'll know it was pretty dark, it was pretty serious. So this week, we've decided to keep it light, and we're delving into the very niche but tasty world of private jets. We're talking to a man named Nick Gleese, who specializes in photographing private planes for billionaires. And I just think this is fascinating because Nick provides us this window into a world that doesn't have many windows. It's the world of billionaires and their private spaces, which is, you know, it's voyeuristically interesting. These people, they basically run our lives, and so I just like occasionally peering into theirs. And I should point out, these aren't your regular billionaires, and they're not your regular private planes either. Because as I learned in today's conversation, private planes, they actually come in two categories, okay? Firstly, there are your Cessnas and Gulfstreams and Bombardiers. These are the planes that American tech CEOs and Taylor Swift fly around in, and they're nice, you know? They're extremely nice. And for Nick, photographing these planes, that's his bread and butter. But then he also does the big private planes. And these are commercial aircraft built by Boeing and Airbus, and they're bought by private individuals as ultimate status symbols. They're mostly owned by Middle Eastern royalty and the heads of state from various oil economies. So think of 737s, 747s, that kind of thing. They've got multiple bedrooms, bathrooms, studies, living areas. These planes are just nuts, and I'm going to put some photos on our Instagram and our TikTok. I'll put the links in the show notes, and you'll see what these planes look like. You'll see what I'm talking about. These are planes with interiors that can cost $500 million, and they're full of leather and polished wood, and some of them have got like this gaudy artwork featuring nymphs and mermaids. I mean, some of them are awful, but they're all incredible. And photographing these extreme, brain-melting displays of wealth, it's where Nick really shines. And one last thing, before we get into today's episode, there's some terminology I want you to remember. Throughout this conversation, Nick often talks about these things called completion centers. And these are companies that specialize in installing luxury interiors in private jets. And here's how it works. So let's say you're a Saudi prince and you buy a brand new plane off Boeing. And there's no seats or anything inside. It's just like this blank, empty plane straight off the assembly line. So then you hire an interior designer to draw up the plans for your bespoke luxury interior. And then once that's done, you hand over both the design blueprint and the plane to a completion center to build and install your interior. And it's these beautiful, terrifying interiors that Nick specializes in photographing. Okay, so now I bring you Nick Gleese.
Hey
Hey, Nick. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Where are you coming from right now? You're in an RV.
I'm in Utah, and I'm in a 45-foot fifth wheel that's got a great big old kitchen, and it's got a big living room and big bathroom and shower and a nice bedroom, and it's got plenty of room. And me and the dog, and the dog's name is Pixel, me and the dog just wander around taking pictures.
So plane photography's, it's been lucrative, I guess.
Well, I've had a brilliant career. Really, as far as I'm concerned, the only two people on this planet that have had a better life are Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, and they're still going. So, I'm a commercial photographer that specializes in executive jet aviation, and I've been doing that for an awful long time. I don't actually keep track of how many aircraft I've done, but it's somewhere between 1,300 and 1,500 airplanes.
How did you get this job?
I studied under Ansel Adams, and I studied under a bunch of other famous photographers. And so I became director of photography for a company called PIC, which is Photographic Illustration Company. So Photographic Illustration Company, back in the late 70s, picked up a contract from Tiger Air. They were doing the interior of a 727-100 for the CEO of Revlon Corporation. So that was the first airplane. I had no idea how to shoot an airplane. It was a training. So I took that airplane, and I took another airplane that just followed it. I was, 5 years into shooting airplanes and probably shot 150, 200 airplanes. So I got the education.
Okay. Who are buying these? And I'm talking the top tier, like the big planes. Who's buying these kind of planes?
The heads of state and royalty are buying the big airplanes. It is very rare when a United States corporation would have an airplane that big. These are all head of state royal airplanes. So my customers, here's what happens. The completion center or the designer wants me to photograph the airplane. So they go to the royal family and they say, "Your Majesty, this is a historical airplane, and this will go down in history as your airplane. So we should record this airplane for posterity. And certainly we would want to hire Mr. Gleese, because Mr. Gleese is the best." And His Majesty then says, "Yes, you're absolutely right. So hire Mr. Gleese, because we want the best." And then now His Majesty ends up paying me, or paying for me, and the completion center gets free photographs. And that's really what happens.
Okay, so the completion center basically wants promotional photographs of their work, like their handiwork. And that's what's in it for them. And the crown prince, let's say it's the Saudi royal family, they're just doing it as a bit of an ego exercise. Like, yeah, I've designed and commissioned the greatest plane ever, and now Nick's going to come in and photograph it for me for posterity. Do I have that right?
Yes, you've got it right, but I won't name the country, but I've done a number of Middle Eastern airplanes for this one particular client, and we produce some very expensive, very good-looking, leather-bound, hand-cut albums, and I'll bet money he's never even opened one up.
Can I ask you, how much money is a Saudi royal paying for you to photograph their private plane?
$20,000
to $30,000. Okay. I mean, if you're a multi-billionaire, that's chump change. That's fine.
That's what you would think. But I have news for you. I get bitched at almost on every airplane. "How much? You got to be kidding me." The Saudis are particularly difficult to deal with in that area. The Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and all the stands up in that area just off of Russia are a little more lenient, but I think my experience with them has been that they really don't care, because it's not their money. They're It's not their personal money. They're taking it out of some sort of government job or whatever it is. There's a lot of corruption that goes in the way that they do things. Whereas that's not necessarily true down in Saudi or Dubai or Abu Dhabi or anything like that. They're pretty straightforward and they're pretty good guys.
Okay. Can you tell me about the fussiest, most trying client you've worked for? Tell me a story.
They're all fussy. I'll tell you about Larry Flint. Stands out in my mind. And do you know who Larry Flint is?
The creator of Hustler?
That's correct. So we did Larry Flint's airplane, and it was God awful ugly. It's exactly what you would think Larry Flint's airplane is going to look like. It's gaudy and it's black and it's gold and red and it's just a horrible looking airplane. Anyway, the exterior of the airplane is solid black. Okay. It's black with a little gold stripe running down it. So I take the airplane and I do what I do, which is photograph it in the air. Now, it wasn't actually in the air. I photograph it on the ground and then put it in the air. Okay, so that's fine. Black airplane against the clouds. Looked real nice. Mr. Flint calls me into his office, and he's unhappy. What's he unhappy about? He doesn't like the exterior. So I said, well, sir, what would you suggest? He said, I want you to do a night shot. And there was a pause, and I said, Mr. Flint, you are aware that that's a black airplane and that at night it gets pretty dark. You want me to do a night shot? That's correct. Can you do a night shot? Well, sir, I guess, but it would cost a fortune in lighting, right? Well, I don't care what it costs. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me do something in between and see if you'll buy that off. So we ended up doing, after some conversation, we ended up doing a sunset shot. And it looks good. It looks spectacular. As a matter of fact, I can send you a copy of it if you want.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to see that. A golden hour. Sunset shots are the best.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of those. But they're all picky. I mean, really picky.
tell me, all right, so you interact with billionaires. Most of us mere mortals have never even met a billionaire. How are these people different to you and I?
I don't know that they are. They have a lot of people doing things for them. That would be very different. And if there's something wrong, if you've done something to either offend them or they didn't like your work or whatever, you won't hear it from them. You'll hear it from their subordinates. You know, so the Saudis and Middle Easterners and Far Eastern, they're very polite people, and they are very non-abrasive, if you will.
Mm, yeah, yeah. You've worked with a lot of American celebrities as well. Can you give me some big names?
Well, I've worked with 20, 30 different, no, more than that, much more than that. I work with 50 different celebrity aircraft. But let me try and, when a celebrity buys an airplane, right, he doesn't use it all the time. They'll lease the airplane out. And that lease helps to offset some of the costs. You've got a Gulfstream 550. You've got $2 million a year in just maintenance, whether you fly it or not, right? So You want to try and offset some of that cost, and they do. So I don't generally have contact with the celebrities themselves. However, I would like to say something here. Tom Cruise kept his airplanes in Burbank, California, and he had a Gulfstream, and he had the P-51 Mustang that you saw in the last movie, and Tom would come out to the hangars, and of course, Tom is allergic to anybody carrying a camera. He's afraid of paparazzis. But once he got used to the fact that I was around that hangar and doing my own work and I wasn't pointing the camera at him, Tom would wave at us and ask us how we are. Hey, nice to see you and all this. Now, Tom Cruise wouldn't know me if he ran me over with his motorcycle. But he just generally was very nice.
Have you ever had anything to do with the Kardashians?
No. And, you know, people think that, and they get a lot of publicity about this, the Kardashians haven't got a clue as to what real luxury is. I've seen pictures of the Kardashians getting aboard Gulfstreams and getting aboard, you know, Global Expresses and what have you. And they just think that that's the hottest thing that ever was. And they haven't got a clue. They're climbing aboard a Volkswagen and they think they're climbing aboard a Ferrari. You know?
Are there any individuals in the world who have decked out an A380 as a personal plane?
No. And I'll tell you what that is. Okay, Prince Alawid. Prince Alawid is the only person to ever purchase an A380 for VIP interiors. So Alawid purchased it. There was a big press thing. He was bragging that he had the A380. He couldn't get a completion center to put the interior in it. Two reasons. One, it would be humongously expensive, and you could, as a completion center, you could go bankrupt in a heartbeat. You would have to build special facilities to accommodate that big of an airplane, and there's only one of them. There was only one that was ever sold for a VIP interior. The other reason is that Alawid is notoriously cheap and hard to work with. I have never personally worked with him. I know his chief pilot. His chief pilot called me one day and said, listen, we'd like to have, Alawid had a 747. We'd like to have a 747 photographed. What can you do for me as far as money's concerned? So I gave him a price. Alawid said no. And he hired a wedding photographer out of New York. Now, what the hell that was all about, I'll never know. I never saw the pictures, but I can tell you that it had to be a disaster. So Alawid ended up selling the airplane, and it's currently a commercial aircraft.
Wow. Okay. And to be clear, Alawid is the Saudi prince. Is that him?
He is a Saudi prince. There are lots of Saudi princes.
But he's the top dog in Saudi Arabia, right?
No. The crown prince is the top dog.
Right. So where does Alawid fit in the hierarchy?
Alawid is just a member of the royal family. Alawid is more flamboyant and more famous than most of the Saudi princesses because he's a major investor. I think he owns like 5% of Apple, and he owns a lot of various investments. He's famous for being a very, very good investor. He's got a lot of money on his own, but he's also a very good investor.
Right. Okay. What are some of the craziest interiors that you've seen? And so I'm talking about unique features. You know, are there any planes with like basketball courts in them, or I don't know, like a swimming pool?
Yeah, no, there's none of that. And there's good reasons for it. Again, keep in mind, you're flying along at 500 miles an hour at 40,000 feet. Okay. You hit some air turbulence. What's going to happen to your swimming pool?
Yeah, that's true.
That would be one. Two, water weighs a bunch, right? And if you want to have a swimming pool full of water, it's not going to work. Okay. There was an airplane done. It was a 747 SP, which is a smaller version of the 747, and it had a jacuzzi on it. Well, it was nicknamed the lead sled, and I don't even know that they ever even got it off the ground. It was so heavy that it was just not, it couldn't fly. Also, you got to keep in mind that even though these airplanes are huge, space is at a premium, you know? So there's multiple uses for all the rooms. Now, so let's say, you know, somewhere along the lines, you wanted to have a theater, right? Well, you wouldn't devote an entire room to a theater, even if that was only, you know, 10 seats or what have you. You would put big screens in the main lounge, And sometimes those screens are hidden up in the ceiling and they flop down, and sometimes they come up out of cabinets and things like that. And they're great big screens. And so there might be, you know, three or four of those screens in a room that is 20 feet by 40 feet, right? And so there's plenty of entertainment aboard the airplanes, but they like to have multiple use. Now, some of the bigger airplanes, they all have bedrooms. They all have absolute bathrooms. And when I say bathroom, I mean bigger than your house bathroom, right? And the bedrooms are as big as a nice-sized bedroom would be. And there's a full-size bed on there. And the lighting is just exquisite, and there's all kinds of entertainment, and you know, TVs popping up out of cabinets, and it's all very plush and nice. And then there are the main galley. Then there's going to be an office aboard the airplane. There's going to be room in the back for, say, 30 or 40 of what I call the slaves, but whoever it's just regular coach seating back there, and it's for their entourage and what have you. Then there might be halfway through the airplane, there might be what they call the minister's area, where the guys that are, you know, not really important, but sort of important, and they've got business class seats. And then you get up into the VIP area, and the VIP area is very plush, very nice. For my money, and I have control of these images, In 1990, a guy by the name of Michael Reese was the designer for His Majesty the Sultan of Brunei. In my opinion, those were the finest aircraft that have ever come down. They are very unique, and I can give you a story on that's pretty funny. So all the upholstery was deerskin, which is incredibly soft and nice to sit in and what have you. Michael would hire professional hunters to go up into Canada and Alaska because he needed big deer, because he didn't want to put seams in the divans, right? So when His Majesty decided that he needed a 747-400, which is a huge airplane, and so he debated it back and forth. Finally, he said to the commanding officer, he said, "Yep, I want the airplane. So get Mr. Reese to start designing the airplane." So the commanding officer called Michael on the phone and said, "Michael, start killing the deers."
That's pretty dark. Hey, we're going to stop here for a quick ad break, but we'll be right back with more What It Was Like.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So you've flown a lot of planes. Have you ever been in a plane crash or some sort of aviation emergency?
Yep.
What happened?
So we were doing color weather radar. We were doing a presentation for RCA Corporation on their new color weather radar units. So we took some color weather radar units, two of them. We mounted them in the back of a Cessna 421, which is a twin-engine Cessna. So we're flying over Wichita, Texas. And there's something on the radar that I don't understand, and there's just the pilot, the co-pilot, and me. And so the co-pilot comes back, and he doesn't understand it. And they're what they call scaffold clouds. So it's where these clouds are coming up, and they're sort of turning in a hooking kind of manner, right? So we don't know what it is, but anyway, we fly, into it, what have you. And it wasn't too long before rocks started hitting the fuselage. And then we figured out it's a tornado, right? And we're at 22,000 feet. Well, a tornado doesn't look like a tornado at 22,000 feet. So the pilot says, oh no, we're turning around. We're not messing with this, right? So we turn around and we're getting battered pretty hard. But we land in this place, and I don't remember the name of it. I think it was Lubbock, Texas.
Wait. Before you get to the landing, I mean, you're just flying through a tornado at this point. What is that like exactly?
It would be like somebody reaching out and grabbing a piece of aluminum foil, crushing it in your hand, and throwing it. And that's exactly what it was like.
Were you terrified? You were shitting yourself?
Yes, I was. And especially when the rocks started hitting, because the rocks are being sucked up from the ground, and we're at 22,000 feet. And so, and the rocks.
Whoa. So these were literal rocks. I thought this was like a euphemism. These are actual rocks off the ground.
No, they were rocks. And so they were putting dents in the fuselage. Anyway, now, this is not the end of the story. So we land, right? And I'm really thirsty. And I said to the ground crew, I said, so tell me, where is the nearest bar, right? They said, bar? There's no bar here. I said, what do you mean there's no bar here? This is a dry county. A dry county? You got to be kidding me. I turned to the pilot and I said, how far is it to Dallas? He said, oh, about an hour. I said, get back in the airplane. We're going to Dallas. Okay. So we get back in the airplane. And I'm sitting in the back of the airplane. Now it's about, say, 7-8 o'clock. It's dusk, if you will. And the radar is completely clear. The pilot says to me, he says, what does the radar say? And I said, just another clear night in Texas, boys. He goes, what range you got it on? I said, 25 miles. He goes, put it on 100. I put it on 100, and the entire screen paints thunderstorms all the way right in front of us, right?
God.
What we're looking for is thunderstorms. And the reason we're looking for thunderstorms is because we're going to use the color weather radar to pick our way through a thunderstorm, right? Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun, right?
No. This does not sound like a lot of fun.
Anyway, and we got tossed. I thought we were going to die because the airplane was damn near upside down more than once, right? We get to Dallas. We land the airplane. I go to the pilot and I said, Jesus, that was the greatest job of flying I've ever seen. You saved my life. And he goes, well, I got to tell you, we were going up and down so much, my glasses were falling off and everything else. I put it on autopilot.
Okay.
We get off the airplane and there's this group in front of, and they're applauding us. And we don't know why. Right, it's at the FBO, which is a fixed base of operations. That's where private airplanes go into, and so they're applauding us, and we don't know why. And so I went up to one of the guys. I said, "So thanks for the applauds, but why are you applauding us?" They said, "Don't you know what you did?" I know we just flew through a thunderstorm, right? And that's pretty amazing. He goes, "No, no, no. Stick around for about 10 minutes, and the airplane will land." I said, what airplane? They said, the medical airplane out of Wichita, Kansas, or out of Wichita Falls, that was evacuating the people that had been seriously injured in the tornado. When they got up, they didn't have any kind of radar, and so ATC Center or Dallas Control was radioing our position back to them, and they were following us through the thunderstorm.
Oh, no way. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's so innovative.
They were say, 10 miles behind us or whatever it was. And so when we would make some sort of a turn to avoid the serious part of a thunderstorm, of which I want to make it clear, do not fly through thunderstorms. This is not safe and it's not sane. And so as we would make evasive maneuvers to stay out of the bad parts of the thunderstorm, we would radio it back to Dallas Control, and then Dallas Control would radio it to the airplane following us, and they'd make the same turns, and they picked their way through the thunderstorm by following us.
Ah, did you get your drink?
I did.
What'd you get?
I got a gigantic Bacardi Coke.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's fucked up. I can't believe you flew through a tornado as well.
And really tore the airplane up pretty bad. I don't know that they ever used that airplane again because it was all banged up. It was not in good shape.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to move to the more recent parts of this. So you were telling me that the private jet interior business was really battered by COVID. Things got changed up a bit.
Well, it's no secret the aircraft industry augured into the ground. Essentially, you've got people that can't come to work. I mean, it's shut down, and it was a worldwide problem. And so it basically shut me down. I didn't have any work. And the reason I didn't have any work is there weren't any airplanes being completed. So that is why I made the decision during the pandemic. I made the decision that it's time for me to go to Ansel Adams, do the things Ansel did. I've been extremely fortunate, as I've mentioned, in my career. And so, okay, now, if an airplane comes up, and there are some airplanes out there that are due for completion, and the clients want to hire me to do them, will I do them? Yeah. Sure, I will, but I'll only do the bigger airplanes. And there are some coming out. There's some Saudi airplanes and some Dubai airplanes that are due out there. And when they come around, I'll probably get a crack at them and I'll probably take them. But in the meantime, me and the dog are going to wander around and take pretty pictures.
So what is it about photography? You've taken photos of a lot of different stuff, but the through line's always been photography. What do you love about it?
Well, so I realize it's a bit cliche-ish, but truly it's a form of art. There's a Minor White was a Ansel Adams guy, type of guy, and he wrote a book and he pointed out that photography should be pre-visualization. In other words, Ansel had a method of exposing, processing, and printing that yielded him what he saw, not necessarily what was there, okay? So in today's world, in the digital world, we can take that way further. So I'll look at a subject and I'll say, I want this subject to appear in my mind's eye. So what do I need to make that happen? So then I'll assemble whatever elements I think I need in order to paint a picture, if you will.
Something I want to touch on. So I think a lot of people who listen to this will be hearing stories about these private jets and, you know, just this scale of wealth, this scale of luxury. And they'll be thinking to themselves, damn, I'd like to have some of that. I mean, look, I'm doing that to some extent. You've seen this world. You've met these people. Do you want to have what they have?
If I had all the money in the world, would I own an aircraft? Absolutely not. Not a chance. It's too much of a headache. However, you'd never find me flying commercial again. I can tell you that much for sure. If I'm going to Europe, I'm going to take a BBJ. And you'd be afforded that luxury. I would not own an aircraft, if that's what you're asking. Would I like to have a couple of $1 billion?
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, I'm going for this, you know, this is sort of a classic question here. Do billions of dollars make you happy? What's your observation?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can be happy with it. Like these Saudi royals, they're all pretty happy because they've got heaps of money.
Money doesn't mean anything to them. I mean, it literally doesn't. It's very difficult to explain. It's just numbers. It just doesn't mean anything to them. It doesn't mean the same thing as you and I, right? To us, $100,000 might mean something, right? To them, $100,000 is lunch. You know, it doesn't. It's just a way of paying something.
Right. Yeah. So would you say that you're sort of semi-retired now? You know, is this landscape photography your retirement plan?
Yeah, I think so. I'm about as fortunate as you can be. I've never worked a day in my life. I took up photography when I was in my early 20s, and I've never let it go, and I still like it. I'm still happiest when I stick my head into the back of a camera. That still turns me on. And very few people are that lucky, you know? And when I get an image and I like the image, I mean, I won't like it for a long period of time. If I like it for a week, it's a great image, but I won't like it for much longer than that. So now I have to go out and do something better. And it's harder because the last one was pretty good, you know? So.
Well, Nick, I'm going to let you go. I've absolutely loved this. This has been fascinating. And your stories are truly wild. And yeah, if you ever get yourselves a few extra seats, you let me know. I'll fly through a storm with you.
A lot of people ask me, do you ever fly on these airplanes? The answer is yes. But let me tell you something, and this is really important. It's not really that much fun for me. I'm also jaded. Keep in mind how many airplanes I've done. I mean, I don't know what you'd have to do to impress me on an airplane. I mean, an airplane's an airplane as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. You'd need the Starship Enterprise at this point. A mere plane isn't going to work for you.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I got to tell you, honestly, I would do anything to go to outer space. I really would. I'd love to go to outer space. I'm afraid that's not going to happen. But
yeah, well, it kind of freaks me out personally. But yeah, thank you so much, Nick. This has been great.
My pleasure, man. Thank you.
Go and check out nicksprints.com. As he said, it's as it sounds. Go check out his work, order some prints, and believe me, he takes some truly stunning photos. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. And follow the show, please. Don't just search for it every week like I do. That's kind of what I do with my favorite shows. Because I'm an idiot, I just like go to the search bar and I'm like, what's that show that I listen to literally every day? And I look it up. And don't do that. Don't do what I do. Just follow the show. Lean in, commit. We'll be eternally grateful. Today's episode was produced by Rachel Tuffery. It was mixed by Jimmy Saunders, who also did our theme music. Evie Atkins is our intern. Our cover art is by Naomi Lee Beveridge. And this whole thing has been a Superreal production.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.